see new faces that I don't know yet. Welcome everybody from my side also to our Full House Sunday. We're going to pray before we go into God's Word and read it. Father, we pray that you would speak to us today. We long for life. We long for seeing you more, who you really are, and to let it fill us and transform us. Let us see life from your point of view. I pray that you would speak into our hearts and open your word and make it alive for us. And Holy Spirit, I pray for your help to share what you have given to me. Let us all grow through your word, we pray. To find a life that is worth living in one way or another. So no matter if it's if they are aware of it or not, every person asks, what should I do so that life would feel good? Where is the way to a good life? And today, in today's world, we have thousands of books and gurus and motivational speakers who would like to give you advice. But this question that we ask today, the same question people asked already 2,000 years ago. They asked, what is a good life? How can I find a good life that is worth living? We long for finding the best way to a good life. And we're going to read about one man today who came to Jesus with this question and who is asking it to Jesus. We're going to see how Jesus reacts to it. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app, or you can open it if you want to and read along from Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 22. It says in Mark 10:17, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answered, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And we don't really find out what happens to this man. We don't know what his final decision was. But we just know what happened when he met Jesus. This man, he is looking for life, you could say. He is looking for finding the good life, the life with a big L. And he says, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And you must know this, that when the Bible speaks about eternal life, in Greek, the word, sorry, whatever he said, and when the Bible talks about that, it doesn't mean just eternal life or life in heaven, but in the Bible it's about the quality of life. What kind of eternal quality does life have? Life here and life later on the other side, it also means eternal life, but it's just as much about the life that God can give you here and now. The life that is different than our normal circumstances of the natural life. It speaks about overflowing life, life from God. So this man doesn't just ask Jesus, how can I have eternal life? But he asks, how can I find the life with a big L? How can I find the good life? The life that works, that really works. Today, maybe people would formulate it like this. I wonder how I can get peace. Or how do you get happy in this life? I find I'm looking for meaning in life. And I want to find a good life. People's lives and choices are calling out this all the time. You should be better. You should be better looking. You should be better than others. You should be recognized. You should be happy. You should just feel happy about yourself. And the interesting thing is that before Jesus starts answering this man's questions, he wants to find out one thing. He wants to say one thing before he says anything else. He wants to say that God is always good. Something in what God is, Jesus is like, makes this man call him good master. When he has looked at Jesus, he recognizes something in Jesus' life that is different than the others. And that is that Jesus is good in a way that he has never met before. And Jesus doesn't question him, but he asks, what made you call me good? What did you see? Since only God is good. What he sees in Jesus is something of good, God's goodness. The Bible says that Jesus had come to reveal who the Father is. So when we look at Jesus, we see something of God's goodness that is shining out through him. An unselfish, loving goodness that met this man with warmth. And why does Jesus say that only God is good? What's the point? The point is that in comparison to all the other good things that you have ever gathered or met or taken part of in this life, God is incredibly much more good. He's always much more good than what you have experienced or met before in life. God is good. He's only good. The Bible also says that there is no light or darkness. There's no changing between light and darkness in God. He is only light, and he only gives good gifts to his children. Think of the best person you know, a person who is good, Mother Teresa or Moomin Mama. Think about anybody that you think is a good person. Jesus says many persons are good, but in comparison to God, no one else is good. They fade away when you see how incredibly good God is. God's goodness is so much greater, so much bigger, so much stronger, so much more loving, that in comparison, we can only call one person good, and it's God. That's what Jesus is trying to say. We have good things in our lives. We have met good people. And many people are an incredible example of goodness. But if you put them side by side with God, then God's goodness will overwhelm us in a way that makes nothing else to be able to compare with it. That's why the Bible says many times, it says that God is good. For example, in Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. The Bible encourages us and says, just come and taste and see that God is good. Sometimes maybe we're met at a restaurant, we order something from a list that we maybe didn't understood, and we're looking at the plate like, oh my goodness, what is this? What did I get? What did I not order? What did I not understand of the menu? And maybe sometimes we get scared and we think like, oh, this doesn't look how I thought it would look. But if that's your thought about God, that, oh, it doesn't really look how I thought it would, then God would say, taste and see. Maybe, what if it's better, tastes better than anything you have ever tasted before in your whole life? What if this food that you didn't think was, it looked so great, what if it's so much better than everything else you ever tasted? Think if this is all you ever want to eat. God says, taste and see. Because God is good. And Jesus wants to to make this clear from the beginning, before he even starts to answer this man. He says that only God is good. Only he can give the good life. If you seek the good life, it always has a source. If God is the best thing we could ever meet, then the best life could only come from that source. Then Jesus starts to help and guide this man. So the first thing I wanted to say was that God is always good. And the second thing that comes out here, that Jesus helps this man to see, is that what you put your heart to will shape your heart. The thing that you make the most important in your heart, that gets the power to affect the rest of your life. From this story, you can see that at least two different tracks in this man. He has at least two different tracks that he has been trying to keep in his heart and live according to. The first one is a religious way. When Jesus mentions all the commandments, he says that you know the commandments. You know this and this. It's not quite all the commandments, but we understand that he's counting up God's commandments. Matthew, in the same story, he also mentions love your neighbor as yourself, which is quite a big commandment, to love other people as much as you love yourself. And then this man answers, Master, all these things I have kept since I was young. I have tried to keep all the rules. I have tried to play by the book and to live up to the demands and follow the law. He's tried everything. You can see from his answer that the image of God and his religion was trying to show how good he is. Because the Bible says that no person has kept the whole law. No person can live up to all the expectations and demands. Nobody can handle it. So this person is either not completely in touch with himself or completely honest. But it also looks like he has built his life on, I will try to show that I am good. I will try to show that I can handle this. And he also asks, what should I do to get eternal life? What else do I need to do? What do I need to perform? Isn't that what we often think? Like, what else should I do? Do I need to read some courses more? What should I do to be good enough in this world? I don't think I'm alone to sometimes have thought about these things. What? How else can I improve myself? That's what all the self-help guides and motivational speakers are about. Be your best self, your best year ever. And these things can be good things, and it can be good to read these kinds of things also, but many times it's just about like pumping up yourself, make yourself better. Many people have the same image of God, that he demands things. I should live up to the rules. I should try to be good. Then I can come. Just like Benita said in the beginning, that maybe then I can get a little bit of this good life. But God's love for you is not dependent on how good you are or if you have been good enough. But he loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and to save you. To save you to the good life. And when Jesus dies on the cross, he takes our failures. He takes the places in our lives where we were not enough. He takes these things on himself so that you don't need to perform to come to God. He says, I will perform, I will be good enough, so that we who are not good enough could come to God and get to know Him. That's why God loves you with a love without demands. And His heart goes out to you and out to everyone, every person who he has created, but who's struggling with life and with finding what's good. And that's why in this moment when Jesus meets this man, His eyes are not hard, they're not judgmental, but they're filled with love and grace to this man. His whole being shines out God's goodness, because He knows that also this man I will sometime die for and give my life for, so that he could choose the good life. The other thing that this person has tried to find the good life with, that's his money and his riches. He says that he was very rich. Maybe he had done well in life, or maybe he had inherited, but he was very rich. He had a lot of things. And his heart was attached to his riches. You see that very clearly. He thought that one kind of salvation would come through his riches. Jesus didn't want to say that money is always wrong, or that being rich in itself is wrong. But he says that what you attach your heart to, that's what you love. And what you love more, you give the power to shape your life. So if the first place in your heart goes to money or career, or we could make the list very long, to looking good, being popular, having friends, your family even, cars, entertainment, food, sex, whatever. If the first spot in your heart goes to any of these things that we look for meaning in, if you love that the most, we can love a lot of things, but if you love this the most, then that's what you believe in, that's what you trust in, that this will give me meaning in life. This will somehow lead me to the good life. This will help me to reach more life. And you expect help from this. But when it can't give you peace, all these different things, they can't give us meaning or help with the emptiness or anxiety that we have in our hearts, then it still instead starts like tearing at our hearts. What you thought would give you meaning, it starts to own us. Have you experienced this? Let me give you an illustration. Maybe somebody has heard this. One time, a long time ago, maybe 20 years ago, I went out into the forest with my brother, Johan. We were going to take pictures. We walked around almost the whole island where our summer cottage is, and it's quite a big island. So we were gone maybe 4 or 5 hours. And at the end, we had been taking pictures of animals and birds and whatever. And at the end, it started to get dark. We had lost track of time. So we were kind of far away when it got dark. And we couldn't quite see very well anymore. And then we decided that, okay, now we have to go home quite quickly so that we would find our way home. But then I got distracted on the way because I hear a noise. I hear a branch breaking. So I tell Johan, take my camera, because I can't take pictures anyway. It's so dark. I just want to check what it was. And I had this feeling of like excitement of, now I'll see something exciting here in the forest. Now I'm going to really see an animal. So I run along a little path and run on, and then I stop and look, and it's dark, so I don't see very much. And then I run a little bit more, and then I stop. And I see nothing, so I run a little bit more, and I come to a small opening in the woods, and I look. Maybe it was about as big of an opening in the woods as this room. And suddenly I see a moose standing there, looking me straight in the eyes. And then I call out to my brother, Johan, I'm standing face to face with a moose. I thought it was very awesome and a little bit scary. And then I heard Johan's voice saying, "What?" And then I was like, oh no, I ran pretty far away. And then I ran away. And then I called again. I'm standing face to face to a moose. "What are you saying?" my brother said. And right then the moose turns his body and starts running straight towards me. And it comes straight at me, and I turn around and I start running as fast as I can, and I hear it, how it's running after me. And I run back on the path, and I was quite far away. And after a few big trees, I thought maybe it can't see me, so I jumped behind a tree, and I hid behind a tree. It was easier a few years ago. I can tell you, I don't look so much like a tree anymore. And I thought that if I just stand behind this tree, then it can't get me. So I walk around the tree and I'm like, take a step. And then it comes exactly on the other side of the tree, so just 1 meter away from me. And when I take a step, it sees my leg. It hadn't seen me before. You think it's impossible, but in that time. So it sees my leg and it gets really scared that something is moving. And then in my memory, it like jumps back, but maybe it just like turned slowly. And then it ran into the forest, and my heart was pounding. And then my brother comes like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "Ah, where is my savior when I need him?" But the interesting thing is that when we believe that we are chasing something exciting, something that will give us a little kick or make us live more, then all of a sudden you're the one being chased and not the one chasing. All of a sudden, the situation turns around, and what you thought was going to be exciting becomes the thing that almost kills you. And it didn't help either that maybe 2 days after this, I read in the newspaper that now you should watch out for moose. So think about what you give first place in your life and what you're chasing, so it doesn't become the thing that is chasing you. So that's what Jesus is trying to say here to this man. You can't get peace. You can't find the good life through anything else. Did you know what you love most is what you're worshiping? You don't need to be religious to worship something. Many people think that worshiping, that's only in churches or in holy places. But all people worship. It's something that has been put into man's nature, that we're created to worship. And all people do it. And what's most important to you, what you put most time and energy for, what you talk about the most, and what you make your decisions according to, that's the center in your life and in your heart. That's what you're worshiping. And Jesus says that where your treasure is, that's where also your heart will be. And what you make into the first thing in your life, that will also get your heart. It will own your heart. Now think about that. What do you want to? What do you dare to own? To what you give the first place to your heart, it will own your heart. And what's most important to you is your God. Many people don't know this. Many people can't see this in their own life. That what am I actually worshiping? What is my actual first place in life? What comes first in your life, what you love, what you worship, what you let be in the center of your heart, it will shape everything in your life. It has power over you. That's what Jesus is trying to say. And the last thing we should say today is that Jesus loves you for real. And I will explain what I mean. Jesus loves you for real. When Jesus says this hard thing in life into this man, he does it because he really loves him deeply. We read this verse in Mark 10, 21. It says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. He uses exactly the same words that you will get a treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. The money itself was not the problem. I want to say that again. The money is neutral. It's neither good nor bad. It depends on what you do with it. There are many rich businessmen who thought who do a lot in God's kingdom, and give their money away for good things, and that's a good way of using money. But for this man, his problem was in his heart, and riches were hindering him from being really free. And when we so easily think that Jesus maybe makes us smaller or puts limits on us, but what he actually does is that he helps people out into true freedom. He says that money is owning this man. He is not free. It hinders him from the good life. It doesn't help him. He is there to help people into true freedom. And I think is there something fresh about Jesus in a world where everything is okay and everybody can do whatever they want, and it says make your own way to heaven. And it's something fresh about Jesus daring to say the truth in love. That's why I say that he truly loves you. He really loves you, because not everyone can say the truth in love. There are many, even friends, who don't dare to say, if he sees that I do something in my life that is not good for me, not everybody dares to say that, Stefan, this is not good for you. If somebody truly loves you, then they also dare to say what's difficult and what's hard, but what you need to hear so that you can be free from it. And Jesus does this. He loves us so much and he cares about your heart so much that he would say, if he sees something that is ruining your life, he's good, he's only good, and he can't say or do anything that wouldn't be good for you. He has compassion in your struggle to find the good life. So what he does for us, what he does for this man, he does to save and to help. No matter where you are right now, what is going through, what your life situation is, what you have in the first spot in your life, I want you to see three things that Jesus does in this last verse that you just read. He sees you exactly where you are. He sees you with the challenges that you have right now. His eyes are not hard. They are warm and they are soft and they are filled with love. And secondly, he loves you. He feels for you. He wants to help you with what you're struggling with. And thirdly, he calls you closer to himself. Jesus, not only, it doesn't say that he has life. The Bible says about Jesus in John 14 and 6, it says, I am the way and the truth and the life. He is life. He is the way to the good life. He is the truth. He dares to shine our lives with his truth and say, this is not good for you. You need to change this and I want to help you. He calls you closer to himself so that you could share life. The key to the good life is not riches. It's not religion, but it's a person. And that's Jesus Christ who can give meaning. That's what Jesus says. He says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So the devil and all the other good things we try to build our lives on, it comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus has come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus says this. This is the purpose that I came to the world, that I live here and I meet you, is that I want to give you life and so that you have it to the full. If you today seek life, if you have tried, but you notice that there is still an emptiness, if you long for more peace and a good God who loves you and who is true, then Jesus is here for you. He wants to meet you exactly as he met this man. Let's pray together.